إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. So in the previous lesson, we saw that Imam al-Tahawi, رحمه الله تعالى, after speaking about the companions in general, he then went on to discuss the issue of the Khilafah. And so he began by saying, وَنُثْبِتُ الْخِلَافَةَ بَعْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم أولاً لأبي بكر الصديق رضي الله عنه تفضيلاً له وتقديماً على جميع الأمة. That we established the Khilafah after the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, first of all for Abu Bakr الصديق, because of his excellence and because he is تفضيلاً له وتقديماً على جميع الأمة, that he is at the forefront and the most virtuous and the most excellent over all of the Ummah. So we put him ahead of everyone else. So we discussed some of the issues regarding that in the previous lesson. We looked at one or two points. We're going to continue today, inshallah ta'ala, looking at the third point. So we looked at two masail in what has preceded. The first mas'ala that we looked at was looking at some of the evidences for putting Abu Bakr at the forefront of the Ummah. And the second was to do with the issue of bay'ah, as to why some of the companions delayed the bay'ah, and we looked at some of the responses to that. This brings us to the third issue then, which is the start of today's lesson, which is that the Khilafah of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu was reviled by the Rafidah. And the intent, so basically they attacked the Khilafah, meaning the leadership of Abu Bakr, and the intent behind attacking the leadership, the Khilafah, was to attack Abu Bakr himself. And so not only Abu Bakr, but also Umar bin al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. And the essence of what they are saying is that they usurped the Khilafah, that they took it wrongly and unjustly, and they took the lead, they snatched the leadership without due right, and so they usurped the right which belonged to Ali radiyallahu anhu. And then they bring some texts as an argument to establish this point, and they say that on the occasion of Ghadir Qum, this is one of the instances which took place, that the Messenger of Allah, he said to Ali, أنت مني بمنزلة حارون من موسى إلا أنه لا نبي بعدي. So the Messenger of Allah, he said to Ali, you are towards me like the position of Harun to Musa, except that there will not be any prophet after me. And when you look in the Quran, you look in Surah Al-A'raf, you see that Musa al-Islam, he said to Harun, أخلفني أخلفني في قومي وأصلح ولا تتبع سبيل المفسدين. This is Surah Al-A'raf, Surah 7, verse 142. So when you take this hadith, the statement of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to Ali, and then you take this ayah in which Musa says to Harun, أُخْلُفْنِي, meaning that take over the affairs after me with respect to my people, to the end of the ayah. So they then put these two things together and they say, see, Ali radiallahu anhu was the one who was deserving of taking the Khilafah. Why? Because of these statements that the Messenger of Allah said to Ali. He likened him to Harun and Musa. And Musa gave the leadership after him to Harun. So this hadith, we see that obviously it's reported by Muslim in his Sahih, and it's a well-known hadith in which he said this. But this hadith, the correct interpretation of this, is that this does not mean that Ali radiallahu anhu deserved the Khilafah. Absolutely. Because this hadith was made in the context of that specific journey. that specific incident. And, you know, that specific instance in which the Messenger of Allah, he went out on a journey, an expedition. So when he went, then as he was on that journey, Ali became to him like what he mentioned in the hadith, in that specific journey. And he was happy that Ali should be with him in this position. And this obviously is something restricted only to time. It is not something which indicates that Ali is put, that Ali is given precedence in every single situation. Because we've clearly seen there are other evidences that we looked at in the first issue, in which Abu Bakr is made to lead the people in the prayer. The very clear statements made about Abu Bakr. So obviously you can't take this thing and then make it to be general in every single situation. And also, we see the way to understand this is that when Abu Bakr, when he went to lead the people for Hajj in the ninth year of Hijrah, he was the Amir of Hajj. And Ali was sent with him. And he was sent with him in order to read a verse from the Quran. So the Messenger sent him so that he could read the verse of the Quran. And this verse of the Quran had some significance. This verse is at the beginning of Surah At-Tawbah, in which Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, بَرَاءَةٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ إِلَى الَّذِينَ عَاهَدْتُمْ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. A declaration of innocence of Allah and His Messenger to those whom you have given, you know, a contract, or you have an agreement from the mushrikeen. That فَسِيحُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, that they should traverse the earth for 4 months, أَرْبَعَةَ أَشْهُرٍ وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّكُمْ غَيْرُ مُعْجِزِ اللَّهِ. And know that you are not, you cannot render Allah incapable. So now this was a declaration that the Messenger wanted to be made by way of Ali. And the reason why he sent Ali with Abu Bakr for this purpose is that from the Arabs, the tradition amongst the Arabs is that the great and mighty affairs that concern the people will not be taken except from the man who's in authority, right? So in this case, the Messenger of Allah. Or if he's not able to come, then he will deputize someone and send him for that same purpose, right? So with that in mind, this is why the Messenger of Allah, he sent Ali bin Abi Talib, because he is a close, very close relative of his. And because Ali has been sent, and the people wouldn't have any reason to basically object and oppose, because this now is a very close relative of the Messenger of Allah, and there's no reason for any, you know, disputation or dispute regarding the matter. So he sent him in order to announce the freedom from the mushrikeen, with the meaning that after this year, after the ninth year of Hijrah, then no mushrik will come and perform Hajj. So this is a declaration, and so the person nearest to the Messenger of Allah was to make that announcement. So this means that Ali bin Abi Talib was sent with Abu Bakr as the leader and Ali bin Abi Talib as the follower. And Abu Bakr is the Amir, and so from all of this, we basically understand from all of this that when the Messenger of Allah, when he said to Ali, that you are to me like Harun was to Moses, that this is a restricted time, restricted to the particular journey or the particular expedition that they were upon. And also another point that is mentioned here is that Ali bin Abi Talib, he was also from the people of the Shura. When, after Umar bin al-Khattab, and Umar bin al-Khattab, he appointed these six to choose the Khalifa after him. So Ali was from amongst them. And they basically decided to choose Uthman. And Ali was amongst those who chose Uthman to be the next Khalifa. So if Ali, if the affair was destined for Ali, then how come he is in a shura and he is, you know, one of those who chose Uthman to be the Khalifa after the assassination of Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. So, the point being here then, that the Rafida, they attack the Khilafah of Abu Bakr, and they attack Abu Bakr. Likewise, Umar and Uthman, all these things are known from them. So may Allah give them what they deserve. Then At-Tahawi, he said, the fourth issue here is, he said, تَفْضِيلًا لَهُ وَتَقْدِيمًا عَلَى جَمِيعِ الْأُمَّةِ. That we establish the Khilafah for Abu Bakr, تَفْضِيلًا لَهُ وَتَقْدِيمًا عَلَى جَمِيعِ الْأُمَّةِ. So here now there's a number of things that are connected. Because when you put a person ahead of everyone else, then that's because of his excellence and his virtue. And his excellence and his virtue means that you put him ahead of everyone else. So these two things, one each of which leads to the other one. If he's the one who's been put in front, it's because of his virtue. If he's the most virtuous, then he's the one who should be put in front. And so these two things are basically binding. And then we see likewise, Umar, he was the best after Abu Bakr, and so therefore he deserves to be put in leadership. And then Uthman, and then Ali. So the point being here, that the two things are basically binding. This is the point that's being made. That if Abu Bakr was given the Khilafah, it's binding that he is the best. And if he is the best, it's known that he is the best, then it's binding that he is the one who takes the Khilafah. And he deserves the Khilafah. So these things, it works this way, and it also works that way as well. And so because Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the most excellent of the companions, then he deserves to be the Khalifa after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then, so At-Tahawi then goes on, he continues and he says, ثُمَّ لِعُمَرْ أَبْنِ الْخَطَّابِ. Then we affirm the Khilafa for Umar ibn al-Khattab. And Umar ibn al-Khattab is the best after Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and we know that his Khilafah was established by way of Al-Ahd. And this means by way of delegation or appointment. And so what we'll notice is we'll see that the various Khulafa were chosen in certain ways, or they were appointed in certain ways, and these are the legal methods by which a Khalifa can be appointed. So one of those ways was by appointment of the previous leader. This is known as Al-Ahd. And so Abu Bakr, he textually stated that Umar should be the Khalifa after him. And no one from the Muslims disagreed or disputed with this, that Umar ibn al-Khattab should be the leader. And as for the virtues and excellences of Umar ibn al-Khattab, they are so many, and he has many, many great positions and stations. First of all, the lands of Islam rapidly expanded during his rule, which means Islam spread to many different regions. Loads of people entered into the deen, and the kafara and mushrikeen, they were opposed and held at bay. And the sahaba were able to go and travel to many different distant places. So this happened in the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab. And likewise, he was a person in his leadership. He used to, be extremely harsh and serious upon himself and upon his family. I mean, in terms of, calling himself to account, for his responsibility. And he was also, as we said, very strict in the issue of leadership. And he was very strong. He had the people held him in awe. And contrary to this, Abu Bakr was someone who was very soft and very gentle. And he was someone who would fulfill the needs of the people with a merciful heart and strive, with mercy and generosity. So we see that there's, in general, the historian and the scholars make a general contrast. But Abu Bakr, in his leadership, was better than Umar ibn al-Khattab. And one of the reasons for this was that he was the one, Abu Bakr, he stood against the people of Ridda, the people of apostasy. So alongside him being a man who was gentle and compassionate and soft and whatever else, in the matter of the deen, he stood and he fought against the apostates. And this station was not granted to Umar ibn al-Khattab. This is something by which Abu Bakr is distinguished. And so, and likewise, none of the other companions were given this distinction where they, aided and fortified the religion, by fighting against the detractors. So in this case, though, the point being that Umar ibn al-Khattab, how was his Khilafah established? Because Abu Bakr, he textually stated that Umar should take the leadership, and also we know from general texts that after Abu Bakr, it is Umar who is the best of the Muslims. So this is now textually. And then Abu Bakr, he actually appointed him and delegated him as the leader. So one of the legitimate ways by which a person becomes a Khalifa is by way of appointment from the previous ruler. Then after him came Uthman radiallahu anhu, and he took the Khilafah by way of al-ikhtiyar. Al-ikhtiyar. Al-ikhtiyar meaning by the choice of the people, or the people who were given put in a position to basically discuss and choose in this matter. So before he died, before Umar bin al-Khattab, he died, before his, you know, before he was assassinated, he said that he basically appointed some people, a shura, to look into this matter and to decide. And there were six people in the shura, as we already mentioned. From them was Ali bin Abi Talib. And so, after his assassination, the affair went to them, and they basically decided to choose the one who is the best and the most virtuous amongst them, and this no doubt was Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. And so this was by agreement by the people of the Shura specifically, and they were six from amongst those who were promised paradise. Right? So the people of the Shura who chose Uthman radiallahu anhu to be the next Khalifa, they are from the 10 who are promised paradise. So from them is Ali and the remainder. So now this is another method, which is ikhtiyar, which is being chosen by the people of Shura, the people of, you know, the people who discuss these matters. Then after Uthman radiallahu anhu, al-Tahawi says, so he said, ثُمَّ لِعُثْمَان رَضِيَ anhu, ثُمَّ لِعَلِي بْنِ أَبِي طَالِبْ radiallahu anhu. So therefore we likewise established the Khilafah for Uthman and then to Ali after him. Now as for Ali radiallahu anhu, we see that all of the Muslims did not agree in his time. They didn't agree upon his leadership, as opposed to the previous three. Right? So we have Abu Bakr taking the leadership after the Messenger of Allah because of clear indication. Then Abu Bakr appointing Umar. Then Umar leaving the affair to the Shura and they choosing Uthman. But in the case of Ali bin Abi Talib, because it occurred after the assassination of Uthman. And you know, the assassination of Uthman was a time when certain factions appeared, the Khawarij, the Sabaiyah, and when they appeared, they kind of put things into the hearts and they shook the affairs. And in the killing of Uthman, some differences occurred between the Sahaba. So a number of different orientations appeared. So from those orientations, or from those positions, was the position of Ali radiallahu anhu. So he was in one direction, and then was Muawiyah radiallahu anhu in another direction, and then there was Talha and Az-Zubair and Aisha radiallahu anha in another direction. Right? So a number of positions appeared, and you know, there occurred whatever that occurred of, you know, a civil war. And all of this was because a band of mischief makers and hypocrites and trouble causers, they came and they engineered these tribulations between the Sahaba. So the point being here that in the time of Ali, there wasn't agreement upon his leadership. But nevertheless, alongside these differences, his leadership still came to be by way of choice, by way of ikhtiyar, through the people of authority, the Ahlul Halli wal Aqd. And this refers to those people who are the kind of, you know, the elite people, the people who have insight, the people who are authority, the people who are looked at, the people who are respected. And the Ahlul Halli wal Aqd in Medina, Al-Medina, after the killing of Uthman, they appointed Ali radiallahu anhu out of choice. And also because obviously we know from the other texts that he is the most virtuous after Uthman radiallahu anhu. So there wasn't any dispute about his actual leadership, as in, you know, the fact that he deserves to be the leader. There wasn't any real dispute about this. What the dispute occurred was, with respect to the killing of Uthman, What should we do? Right, so some demanded immediate justice and revenge. We need to pursue the criminals. Others said, no, we need to wait and let things stabilize. Like Ali said, we need to let things stabilize. It's difficult now to pursue the criminals. And others like Talha and Zubair, they said, no, we must pursue the criminals. Right? So it was to do with the issue of the assassins of Uthman, radiallahu anhu, where the differences appeared. And so some of the Sahaba did not come under the authority of Ali until, and they did not want to until the assassins were identified and justice was meted out to them. But in any case, the Khilafah was Ali. The Khilafah of Ali radiallahu anhu was by the choice of the people of the Ahlul Hal wal Aqd, the people of authority and the people to whom affairs are referred back to, and also because they knew that he was definitely the most virtuous after Uthman radiallahu anhu. So it was obligatory upon everyone in that time to actually establish and give the bay'ah to Ali radiallahu anhu. However, for reasons which occurred, as we said, the killing of Uthman, then this did not occur. You know, not everyone came and gave him the bay'ah. So the Khilafah continued like this, and the affairs weren't really in order. Right? As in, unlike the Khilafah of Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman, where everyone was together, then a number of years passed, and the affairs weren't really arranged and in order. And it was basically time of Qital and Khilaf, as you know, because we had the Battle of Siffin, we had the Battle of Jamal, and these tribulations occurred. And in any case, nevertheless, Ali's Khilafah was you know, chosen in that manner, and he was deserving of the Khilafah, and he was deserving of having been given the Pledge of Allegiance. But for those situations and circumstances, that did not occur. So then after that, At-Tahawi, he says, وَهُمُ الْخُلَفَاءُ الرَّاشِدُونَ وَالْأَئِمَّةُ الْمَهْدِيُّونَ So these four, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, they are specifically referred to as Al-Khulafa, الرَّاشِدُونَ الْمَهْدِيُّونَ They are the rightly guided Khulafa. They are Khulafa, which means they are leaders. This is a neutral term. They are Rashidun, they're upon right guidance, Al-Mahdiyun, and they are rightly guided. So now this statement here, when we say Al-Khulafa, Al-Rashidun, Al-Mahdiyun, this is clearly taken from the statement of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself. Alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnati al-khulafa al-rashidin al-mahdiyin min ba'di. Tamassaku biha wa addu alayha bin nawajid. Upon you is to follow my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided khulafa after me. Hold fast to it and bite onto it with your molars. So here we see that he described the khilafa in the statement al-khulafa al-rashidin al-mahdiyin. So he described the khilafa as with ar-rushd. Ar-rushd. Ar-rushd means upon right guidance, correct guidance. And the reason why this specific ar-rushd he's mentioned is because there could be in the future someone who is a khalifa and he's not upon rushd, he's not upon right guidance. And in fact, the Messenger of Allah, he actually mentioned that in some of the other statements, like the hadith of Hudhayfa, there will be after me leaders, la yastanuna bi sunnati, they do not follow my sunnah, they do not follow my guidance. Right? So here it's specified ar-rashidun al-mahdiyun. And so we see that just saying Al-Khulafa was not sufficient. Because a Khalifa, the word Khalifa is simply a neutral term. It simply means to take over leadership. There's no praise in this term. There's no praise in this term. It is a neutral term. So they were specified as Ar-Rashidun Al-Mahdiyun. And likewise, there was an additional description given to them as well in another hadith. Al-Khilafatu 30 sana. The Khilafah will be for 30 years. Ala minhajin nubuwa. Upon the methodology of prophethood. Thumma yakunu mulka. Then it will turn into kingship. So we see that these four, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali radiallahu anhum ajma'een, that their khilafah was described as with ar-rushd and as being rightly guided and as being upon the minhaj of the nubuwwah. Right? All of this is in relation to this prophet of theirs, and this lasted, when you look at the actual measure of the years, we see it is 29 and a half, 30 years, roughly, of all of these four khulafa. So now this, there's some number of issues then to discuss regarding this, and the first of those issues here, so now we're discussing the khilafah of these four khulafa. So the first issue is that the word khalifa, we see that its usage continued after the four khulafa, after these four rightly guided khulafa. Then we see that Bani Umayyah is the ruling family, starting with Muawiyah, who then took leadership, right? Because they come from the Bani Umayyah. And the word khilafa and khalifa was still used, and however, it then got changed to something else. It got changed to Amirul Mu'mineen. And this began in the time of Umar bin al-Khattab, because it was said to him, according to a narration, "You are the Khalifa of the Messenger of Allah." So he said, "Antumul Mu'minun wa ana Amirukum." So he said, you are the believers, and I am your Amir, I am your leader. So from here came the title of Amirul Mu'mineen, and it continued to be used after him, with Uthman, with Ali, with Muawiyah. But otherwise, the actual name is Khalifa. Al-Khalifatu Umar. Al-Khalifatu Uthman. Right? So, however, the word began to be used, Amirul Mu'mineen, Ali is the Amirul Mu'mineen, Umar is the Amirul Mu'mineen, Uthman is Amirul Mu'mineen, and so on and so forth. Muawiyah is the Amirul Mu'mineen. So, but nevertheless, we see that the actual word in the Sharia that we see in the text is that they are khulafa. Why is this? Because the Messenger of Allah, he said in a hadith, لا يزال هذا الدين عزيزا إلى 12 خليفة. This deen will never cease to be strong and mighty so long as there are 12 khalifas, until 12 khalifas. Now notice how in this hadith, the word is used, 12 khalifas, right? This is despite the fact that we know that kingship entered into the Bani Umayyah, right? Because leadership then became hereditary. After Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, it then passed on into his family. So here we see clearly that the Messenger of Allah is using the word khalifa for 12 khulafa after him. This is a clear evidence that the word khalifa can be applied to a king. He's a king, and he is someone who succeeded in leadership. Right? This is clear evidence, because in one hadith we see that the khilafa will turn from the minhaj of nubuwa to kingship. And in another hadith we see that this deen will continue to be strong until there have been 12 khalifas. Right? So there can be a king, and he can also be the khalifa. There is no contradiction in that. And there's no contradiction in the mode and type of leadership being kingship, and with the ruler being a khalifa, because he simply took the leadership from he who came before him. Because khilafa and khalifa simply means successorship, that you succeeded in power from the one who came before you. So here we see in this hadith that that also indicates that those who come after the 12 as well, that they can also be called khulafa. And so this is the first issue that we should be aware of, that the description of khalifa and khilafa, it continued after the four rightly guided khulafa, and that the word khalifa itself is a neutral term. And we see that the first four khulafa, they were praised as Rashidun, Mahdiyun, ala minhajin nubuwah. Now we come to the second issue, which is that we often hear people saying that the fifth rightly guided khalifa was Umar bin Abdul Aziz. And this is common upon the tongues of the people, you see, because they mention his righteousness, his piety, and his efforts to establish the Sunnah and oppose the people of Bid'ah, like the Khawarij and Qadariyah and other than them. But in reality, this is not known from the Salaf to say this. Rather, the one who deserves to be called the fifth rightly guided Khalifa is in fact Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan radiallahu anhu. And this is what Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'ah are upon. And this is in opposition to factions of the people of Bid'ah, the ones who say about Umar bin Abdul Aziz, they say that he is the fifth rightly guided Khalifa, or the fifth Khalifa, or the Al-Khalifatul Rashid Al-Khamis, you know, the fifth rightly guided Khalifa, and, you know, words which are like this. Rather, Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan is more worthy because he is far superior to Umar bin Abdul Aziz, without any doubt. Because the people were actually united upon his khilafah, after Ali. We'll come to mention this shortly, inshallah ta'ala, that the people actually became united under him. And in his leadership, he actually, you know, undertook many expeditions and expanded the lands of the Muslimin. Right? He engaged in striving in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. And also because he was a companion of the Messenger of Allah Sallam, and he is the one who wrote the revelation. He was entrusted by the Messenger of Allah to write down the Quran, write down the revelation. And Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said that indeed one of you spending an hour with the Messenger of Allah Sallam is better than the worship of one of you for such and such number of years. And also one of the Salaf said that indeed the dust that is, you know, the speck that is on the nose of Muawiyah is far superior to something like 100 Umar bin Abdul Aziz's or something of that nature. So this shows the excellence of Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan by virtue of him being a companion. And likewise also the Messenger of Allah also said in the hadith, La tasubbu ashabi, do not revile my companions, for indeed if one of you was to spend a mountain of Uhud of gold, it would not reach a mud, like a handful of what one of them would spend, or even half a handful. So, and also in the ayah in the Quran, لا يستوي منكم من أنفق من قبل الفتح وقاتل أولئك أعظم درجة من الذين أنفقوا من بعد وقاتلوا وكلا وعد الله حسنا. That those are not equal those who spent before the conquest and fought. They are better in rank and degree than those who spent after the conquest and fought after the conquest. But both, in both, Allah has promised goodness to both. So the point being from these texts is that Umar bin Abdul Aziz, no doubt, he is less in rank than Muawiyah. And in the time of Umar bin Abdul Aziz, he was not given the same aid and expansion that was given to Muawiyah. Rather, what Umar bin Abdul Aziz did, that in his time, he made efforts to spread the Sunnah and to establish justice and to put an end to all types of oppression. And his leadership only lasted really for a couple of years, for maybe 2 years. And so he set out to do many lofty things, and he achieved many lofty things, but the affair did not, you know, completely, as the Sheikh says, لَمْ يَسْتَقِمْ لَهُ الْأَمْرُ, because he didn't live for that long. He only had leadership for maybe 2 or 3 years, 2 years at the most. And so for that reason, you cannot put Umar bin Abdul Aziz, you cannot put his leadership, and you cannot put him ahead of Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan. So this is something that we should be aware of. And, you know, if anyone makes the likes of this remark, we say, no, Muawiyah is more worthy and deserving to be called the fifth rightly guided Khalifa. This brings us now to the third issue. And in this third issue, we see that Al-Hasan bin Ali. Right? So now, after Ali, who is the fourth Khalifa, what happened is that after Ali radiallahu anhu was killed by the Khawarij, by the Khariji, Al-Hasan bin Ali, who is his son, and he is the grandson of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then the people gave him the pledge of allegiance to Al-Hasan bin Ali. And however, as you know, that this was already in the context of the murder of Uthman, and not everyone had come under the leadership of Ali, and there were issues that were taking place, right? The Khawarij had appeared, there were the Sab'iyyah, and Muawiyah had not, you know, come under the leadership of Ali, and you know, people were demanding vengeance for the blood of Uthman and so on and so forth. And so Hassan took the leadership. However, when he saw the situation of what the Muslims were upon, I think his leadership lasted only maybe 6 months at the most, as is mentioned by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah and others. He stepped down from the Khilafah. He stepped down from leadership. And the reason he did that was in order to prevent further bloodshed and further tribulation. And this was a great and mighty decision that he took, in which there was great benefit for the Muslims. And it led to the word of the Muslims being united. And so he stepped down from the Khilafah, and Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan, he took over the leadership. And this particular year, this year, the 30 Hijra, it was known, not 30 Hijra, it works out to be 40 Hijra. 40 Hijra. Then it became known as the year of the year of unity, Amul Jama'ah, the year of the Jama'ah, meaning the year in which the Muslims came together and they were in agreement. And this indicates that this, you know, great noble companion, Hassan bin Ali, was a person of great piety and taqwa, and he knew that he was most deserving of being the Khalifa. He knew this. And but he saw that the maslaha, the overall benefit, was for Islam and the Muslimin. Right? That was a much greater maslaha. So therefore he stepped down, and it demanded from him that he abandon the leadership and leave it to Muawiyah, the companion. And in this, of course, there was goodness, there was barakah for the Muslimin. And so the Muslims, after that time, they lived for 20 years, roughly, while they were living in security and peace and strength. Because Muawiyah then, as you know, when Muawiyah, he took leadership, he then expanded, you know, he engaged in many, many battles, and he made Islam to be spread. And so a great deal of benefit came from Muawiyah taking the leadership. And so for 20 years, the Muslims were firmly established in the affairs of their world, and likewise in the affairs of the religion, in the affairs of the deen.
Did he call Khalifa twice then?
Who then?
Muawiyah.
No. He never. Hassan bin Ali took leadership straight after Ali bin Abi Talib was assassinated by the Khawarij.
The order you...
So in that 6 months, he only lasted for 6 months. Then when he saw that, because he didn't really acquire actual control over the whole, you know, the leadership of the Muslims, then, you know, they don't really mention Hassan being a Khalifa, right? So he saw that the situation was what it was, and he stepped down and he left the affair to Muawiyah. So Muawiyah is the Khalifa after Ali ibn Abi Talib.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not that Muawiyah took the leadership.
Yeah.
And then, no, it wasn't like that, no. Hassan took the leadership, radiallahu anhu, and then, you know, he left it because the affair was how it was, and he allowed Muawiyah to take over leadership, and then the affair became settled, and the Muslims were united once more. And
then Umar Abdulaziz after?
No, then there were some other khalifas after that. All right, he didn't come till much later, right? Yeah. He was probably, some count him amongst the 12th, khalifa. Right, but all of this is basically in the year 40, roughly 40 Hijra we're speaking about. Whereas Umar bin Abdul Aziz came many, you know, about 40, 50 years later. Yeah. Right, so okay, so this brings us to, we can stop at this point, inshallah ta'ala. This brings us to an end of our discussion of the four Khulafa. And after that, Al-Tahawi goes on to mention the 10 who are granted paradise. And inshallah, we'll leave this for the next lesson. We'll continue the rest of this discussion, inshallah ta'ala, in the next lesson. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.